Welcome to I Seem Fun, the diary of Jen Cockman. I can't even do this right. This was going to be an intro to the new listeners. I Seem Fun, the diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. If you are a new listener, before you jump into this episode, this is my weekly podcast. I record it from my home or whatever hotel I'm in that week. Sometimes I record it from the All Things Comedy podcast studio in Los Angeles, but the content is always the same. I talk off the top of my head for the most part about what went on with me this week. I might read an article or two. I might talk about the world. I might read some listener emails. I will read you two reviews of my podcast, and you can decide if you want to go forward. The AV Club said, "What makes I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast funny, is Kirkman's inherent knack for cultivating conflict, even talking into a microphone in a room by herself. Whether she's dissecting a negative iTunes review from an angry Christian or seriously considering a class action suit against Robin Thicke for being gross, Kirkman is eternally embattled, but she tempers her cynicism with sweetness, and more often than not, she's right." This is from Magnet Magazine. "You may know her from Chelsea Lately, but this is where you'll get the unadulterated Jen Kirkman. She records this weekly podcast from the comfort of her own bed, and that's what makes I Seem Fun feel like she's just shooting the breeze with you. A major league stand-up comedian in her own right, Kirkman is a master at weaving random small observations. Everyone is looking hot in front of monuments. That's what photography has come to. Opinions. They don't make dance music like Celebration anymore. Now it's all air raid signals. And fears. When I'm hiking, I just assume there's a severed finger on the ground nearby. Into larger, often touching, always funny, real-life stories. If you're ready to take the ride, come have fun."
I see fun.
I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast, episode 182. Oh. Ooh. Ooh. Dr. Barbara Persons. She's a doctor and a woman and a doctor. Women can be doctors. Where we last left you is Dr. Barbara Persons. Received a gift bouquet of flowers from her ex-boyfriend or ex-fiancé or ex-husband, we can't remember. He's a pharmacist or a lawyer. This episode will pick up nowhere near that as we bring you an episode called She Lost One. Barbara, you gave it all you could. I didn't save him. My job is saving lives. How could that be all I could? Barbara, you knew this was a risky surgery with only a 1% chance of survival. I know. But families that sit out there in the waiting room, they are banking on that 1%. That 1% isn't just a number. That 1% is hope. Hope. You can't put a number or a percentage on hope. You can tell a patient's mother that her son has a 98% chance of survival or a 1% chance. Her hope is the hope of a mother. It's the same. I'm not a mother. I never had children. I don't want them is what I tell everyone, even though I have frozen some eggs. But I don't want to take care of a child anymore because my patients are my children and I just lost a child. Barbara, Is this a sitcom or a soap opera or a one-hour drama? I don't remember. I don't either. If this is a sitcom, it's not been funny for the first 5 minutes, Dr. Pierce. I know, Dr. Persons. That's why I'm wondering, should we say something funny? Well, I will say this. At least the patient was a Trump voter. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you? At least he won't be voting next time. Oh, Barbara, you are so rich. I am? Where's my bank account? Let my bank account know. Okay, Barbara, if this is not a sitcom, that's going to look highly insensitive. You bet it will. I've never lost a patient before, and I feel like I should talk to the family directly. I'll go out into the waiting room now. Oh, they're not here. Well, where could they be? They went down to the vending machine. Oh, Roger. I think that's the name of my ex-boyfriend or ex-fiance or ex-husband who brought me flowers, who's a lawyer or a pharmacist. It is me, Barbara. They went down to the vending machine. What? Why are you in the hospital? My sister, the one that had the baby, she's having another baby. Oh my God, it's been 9 months since I've seen you? Yeah. Oh. This time it's a cesarean. There's nothing. I actually don't even need to be here, but I got fired from the pharmacy. Oh, so he is a pharmacist. And why? Well, I was accused of taking home some Vicodin. Did you? No, Barbara. But because I have a past with pills, I'm being suspended while they look into it. God damn it, these people. I have to go tell a family that they just lost their father, brother, son, and whoever else he is to people. Oh, I'm so sorry. I am too. Oh, here they come. I'll talk to you later about the everything. Oh, I didn't know we had plans later. Oh, God damn it, we don't. I'm just, you know, sometimes when I'm in a state of shock like this, I forget that we're no longer fianced, and I guess I just, in my head, pictured like I was going to go home and just see you the way I used to, sitting on our couch. God damn it. See, that's why we broke up. I always called everything mine, even though it was ours. Anyway. Oh, he walked. Oh, I've been talking to myself this whole time. Hello, Mrs. Johnson and little Judy Johnson and all the other family members. How is he? Is he doing okay? Well, that's what I came to talk to you about. Maybe you'd want to not open that Snickers bar while I tell you this. We lost him. You lost him? Well, I saw him get wheeled on the bed right into the room. Where is he? He didn't get up and walk away. Okay, this must be a sitcom I'm in because that's a ridiculous character. No, I mean he passed. Passed gas? No. I don't want to be in a sitcom. I'm going to change it right now to maybe a one-hour drama with some light humor as needed. He passed. Oh, no. He passed? What did you do? Why didn't you try to save him? Dr. Persons, why didn't you try to save him? You know what, Mrs. Jones? Whatever your name was. He only had a 1% chance of living. Oh, I know you. You're in the 1%. This is just another paycheck to you. I am not in the 1%. I am a woman who's also a doctor, because women can be doctors, and we don't make the same money as the male surgeons, and I have $400 million in debt from school, and I pay off $100 a month, so I'm not in the 1%. I'm sorry, doctor. I'm just all confused. My husband died, and then this went from a sitcom to a drama. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. But what do we do now? I actually don't know. I usually have surgeries back to back. I tell people their family died and then someone else comes along, and this is the first time I have the rest of the day off. But I'm sorry, I have to go. I have to be there for someone who I've never been there for before. I have to go. I have to go see a pharmacist who's been unfairly suspended on the suspicion of stealing pills. Oh, we understand that, Barbara. Your life has to go on just because our husband, father, and brother died. You live, Barbara. You live. I will live, Mrs. Jones and family. I will live. Doctor Barbara Persons. She's a doctor and a woman and a doctor. Women can be doctors. Wow. I'm glad I rolled that episode out for you. Okay, that was pretty balls to open up the podcast. When I know there are new listeners every week, I know I had that little introduction at the beginning, but they don't know what, this is not normal to do this weird Dr. Barbara Persons show. I just came out of the gate with it, but that's for my OG listeners. Everyone's been asking for a new new Dr. Barbara Persons episode. And you got one. And I think my favorite thing about it is that I do not go back and figure out consistency with each Dr. Barbara Persons episode. I keep forgetting if she's also a lawyer, if it's a sitcom or a one-hour dramedy, what the name of her ex is. Was he a boyfriend, a fiance, a husband? Was he a lawyer or a pharmacist? I don't know. And I'm never going to look it up. The consistency is not why we love Dr. Barbara Persons. And if you want a show with consistency, you go to another goddamn podcast right now. I actually got an interesting, I think it was a Facebook. Someone wrote on the I Seem Fun Facebook wall. Hang on, I'm lighting a candle. I'm back home in Los Angeles with my long fun candles. I've got the washing machine going. Here. I know I was fluff and folding it for 6 weeks, people. Even though there was laundry in the basement of where I was staying, I ain't going to no basement. We're on the lid locked phase. All right. I know it sounds like something's wrong. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Anyway, so somebody on the Facebook, oh my God, we have so much today that I think I'm probably going to have to record like three in a row. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hang on 1 second. I want to make notes. I want to make notes to you, baby. Hang on. I want to make notes to you, baby. What else was I going to talk about? Oh, suggesting. Hang on. Okay. Sorry, I have some notes about what I want to talk about. Do I want to print this? I think I do. I think I miss printing things out. I could do double-sided, couldn't I? Why does it not give me the option? Why isn't it giving me the option? Will you guys come here? Collated. I don't need that shit. Oh, I guess I do. Why isn't it giving me the option for double-sided? Know what I'm saying? How do I do that? Page setup. Can you really believe I'm doing this? I can, in a way. I can absolutely believe it. Welcome home. What was I saying? Oh, so somebody on the Facebook fan page. If you are a fan of I Seem Fun, every week on the Facebook fan page, I give you a fun picture, sometimes a video, a description of each episode and where you can listen to it. And then people in the comment sections write fun things to each other. And it's the only Facebook page that doesn't have dumb comments on it. So that is facebook.com/iseemfunpodcast. So somebody wrote to me, oh my God, I found Dr. Barbara Persons. And they brought me to her website. Now she looks exactly like I picture her. But here's the thing. Don't forget, if you listen to the original Dr. Persons episode, which is in the first best of, there's a best of I Seem Fun. Hey, if you have friends that, if you're like, you got to listen to this girl's podcast, but I know you have to get into it, send them my best of episode. You can find it on iTunes or in SoundCloud. Give them the link and go, Ned, let me know what you think. Actually, don't say, let me know what you think. Just say, get into it or don't. Don't bother me with the details if you don't like it. So don't forget that it came from a real article about an airplane where passengers, for some reason, everybody was fainting. They thought there was some kind of gas leak and they had to land the plane early because people were just like throwing up and fainting, but there wasn't any turbulence. It was a mystery. And as you do, if you're a doctor on a plane, you get up and you start helping. Which, by the way, if I were a doctor, I'd be like, I want to pretend I'm not. Like when I'm, if I was to fill out the, you know, when you buy a plane ticket, Dr. Kirkman, I would just put Ms. Because I don't want to have to get up and, I guess if you're really a doctor, you would not be able to sit there going, I know I could help, but I'm not. I mean, I guess it's in your blood. But I don't have that with comedy and writing. If I don't feel like doing it, I don't care if there's an emergency, I'm not fucking doing it. So I guess it's different than being a doctor. But laughter heals, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Anyway, so don't forget that in that article, the doctor that helped everybody was named Dr. Barbara Persons. That's how this all began. So I have a feeling that that doctor in the article could be this woman that's on the website that this guy sent me. But what's so, I don't know if this is disappointing, but Dr. Barbara Persons, at least the one that this guy found, is a plastic surgeon. I'm like, well, maybe she's a plastic surgeon for like your face got burnt off in a fire, which I know that all plastic surgeons, I'm not positive, but I would venture a guess that if you're a plastic surgeon, you can do either like, hi, I'm a cougar and I want my face lifted, or you can do, I was in a fire, or I'm from a country where someone threw acid in my face. I'm assuming you can do both. Like plastic surgery is plastic surgery. Although I know there's some more. That's actually not true. Okay, never mind. Don't email me or listen to what I'm saying. I think there's all different kinds. There's plastic surgery. There's reconstructive. There's like, I'm going to make you new skin. I'm sure some people are better at certain things than others. But my whole point is, I was disappointed that Dr. Barbara Persons was, I don't know, let's say a more superficial doctor. Because in my sitcom / soap opera / 1 hour dramedy, I have her saving lives. Or in this episode, not saving lives, but she tried. And not that plastic surgery is a lesser form of being a doctor. Of course it isn't. But I was like, oh, it's probably the kind where she saves people's faces. And then I clicked into it. And even if it is that, even if she has that skill, her website is all like thin women and like cool sculpt your body and, you know, all that. I'm like, aw. Dr. Barbara Persons is aiding in the shallow. Which, by the way, I probably won't rule out plastic surgery. I just won't get a lot where I look crazy. I know that's what they all say. That's what they all say. I mean, I don't think I'll get my head sliced open and my face pulled up. That just doesn't, that's not something I want to do. But I just don't want that neck. Sorry if I don't sound feminist, but if I was a guy, I feel like I wouldn't want that neck either. I don't want that fucking neck. Oh, it's the worst. This episode is sponsored by Talkspace.com. Now, I usually get into it a little more gracefully than that, but I'm just excited because I'm getting feedback from people that are actually using Talkspace. I have a listener in the military who uses it and who's like, let's keep it hush-hush because people can't know. This is fucking great. So, sorry, Talkspace. I didn't mean to swear in the ad. I'm only human. And so are you. I so believe in therapy. I got to tell you, I know a bunch. Now, listen, again, Talkspace, just they tell me, say this, say that. Say this, say that. They're not, this is not Talkspace's opinion, what I'm about to say. I am watching, everyone's like, you got to watch that Tony Robbins documentary on Netflix. Now, I love a good documentary. Most documentaries are just like, here is the situation. We filmed it. You make of it what you will, right? I didn't think it was going to be an expose. I don't think Tony Robbins is a fraud. But he's not for me. And everyone that watched it was like, it's amazing. I'm like, why? What happens? And they're like, I just got really into him. I'm like, what? I watched it and I was like, this guy has unresolved issues with codependency and wanting to help people. He's basically like Richard Simmons. His voice is shot and he needs to take care of it. And he's doing weird things like, dump your boyfriend. And she's like, oh, I think I'm going to. He's like, call him right now. I was like, the place is going wild. He's like, he's giving so much inspiration. You're going to drop down the next day and you're still going to be you. And you're still going to be like, how do I get out of bed? I'm all for inspiring people. But some of these people seem like they really need help. Not just a little inspiration. Not just a little kick in the butt. Not just like, your business card sucks. Why don't you believe in yourself? Thanks, Tony. I just don't like BS. I like easy cognitive behavior adjustments. I made up that whole expression. But I like therapy. And people who don't know therapy have all these wild and wacky ideas about what it is, that you're not doing it yourself and that you're just complaining to someone and you can do that to your friends. Yeah, ask them how fun that's been. Do you want to have dinner with Bob? Oh, again, all he does is complain. And then meanwhile, Bob's telling his friends in therapy, you know, I don't need therapy. I just have dinner with some good friends. It's not about bitching about your day, which is absolutely something you can do in therapy. But usually those sessions, those of us who go to therapy, we're like, ugh, I wasted money now. I'll just bitch about my day. You just talk and they kind of know what to ask you. And then you have revelations on your own. I've had a year go by where I'm like, you know what I just realized? And my therapist is like, thank God, because they can't tell you your own path. They could probably just guess what you are in 10 seconds and just lay it all out. But it's about a process. And if you have a conflict with your therapist, you talk it out with them because it mirrors the relationships you should have in your real life. It's a wonderful self-exploration process. And it's about you. It's not about, you know, well, I don't know what other people would think it's about. It's about you. It's about taking care of you. And when you take care of you, you can take care of others. Right? So, but I know it's expensive to go to therapy. How do you find a good one? You don't want to leave. You don't have time to even go to the office. Maybe you're shy. You don't even want to sit in a room with someone. Well, this is perfect for you. You do everything else on your phone. Why not therapy? That's why I love Talkspace. Between everything going on, whether the news is freaking you out, or the lack of news is freaking you out, whatever's freaking you out, or it's your own problem. You're like, you know, I've never been able to make a relationship work. Or, you know, I just can't speak up for myself at work. I want a promotion. I can't speak up for myself. So it's important to take care of your mental health. And we know it can be hard to make it to a therapist's office. That's why, as always, I'm excited that I'm sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that connects you with a licensed therapist for just $32 a week. And us in therapy, we know, oh my God, that's a bargain. That's like a third of what it normally costs. Not even. What's less than a third? That. So you can talk about anything. You just work on becoming a better person. Talkspace can help. Here's what happens. You use the Talkspace smartphone app or you go to the website, Talkspace.com, and you can text and audio message your therapist as much as you want. That's amazing. And for a reasonable additional fee, you can have a video call as well. So if you want to look at them, go ahead. So don't lose out on my special offer. Don't lose hope. Don't lose sleep. Go to Talkspace.com/ Jen, J-E-N. Or use coupon code Jen to get $30 off your first month. Oh my God, it's getting cheaper and cheaper. And to show your support for this very podcast, I Seem Fun. Do it, everybody. Do it. Oh, somebody asked me. All right, look it. I'll just get this out of the fucking way. A woman on Instagram asked me, what is your skincare routine? I get asked this a lot, and I feel like I've talked about it, but I'm going to talk about it now, and I'm going to remember the time code. So if anyone ever asks me this, I can go to this episode and listen. I'm going to tell you guys something. You cannot really, I don't think, successfully ask anyone what their skincare routine is and expect that your skin would need the same thing. I mean, I feel weird announcing what my skincare routine is because I feel like a lot goes into it. And as I say it, it'll probably sound like I'm really shallow and spend way too much time on it. But I do kind of put my face out there for a living. But I want to remind people that whenever they compliment my skin, I'm always like, you guys, it's Instagram. These are filters. Or they're pictures of me from television where there's an hour of makeup done. I mean, granted, I do know that I have nice skin. I know I look younger. Again, I told you, I took a picture of my mom's eye and she won't let me post it. My mom does not have crow's feet, like the tiniest bit, but they're not deep. It looks like if you look, you can see faint lines, but they're not even deep lines. So, and she didn't even start to like age until she was probably 70. So I don't, it's just in my genes. I'm going to say something else you're not going to like. You know, I never went out in the sun. I wear sunscreen 50. I am a vegan. I've been really bad with it the past 3 months because I had a little reprieve from taking care of my silent acid reflux. I'm back on the strict diet. But yeah, it's getting rid of cheese and stuff is like the number one thing you can do for your skin. I'm not even talking about acne. I'm just talking about a weird glow. I go to infrared saunas and I sweat. I don't do any kind of like spin class. I don't like that stuff. And I really feel like what I call like capillary busting classes. I do yoga, Pilates, power plate, and hiking. Or walking, you know, if you want to call it walking. I don't drink. I really rarely drink alcohol. I especially don't drink on planes. Sometimes when they fly me first class, I'll have a glass of champagne on takeoff because I always just think that's so fun. I don't stay out that late. These are once in a while things. And I mean 2 to 3 times a year, stay out late. I might not be the best at drinking a lot of water, but I don't drink any soda ever, ever. So this is all the internal stuff. And this stuff is not hard for me to do. It all comes naturally. So you might be like, oh my God, but I don't, that's not what my temptations are. So that's easy. Then like I spend some money on my skin. So I'll tell you guys this. I feel like I've talked about this, but again, a listener requested it. So when I was in my early 20s, I started to have adult cystic acne. It was a fucking nightmare. Now I know where it came from. It was like switching birth control pills and doing this and doing that. I was on the pill for my skin the first time, and then I would have other side effects. So then I would change pills and the hormones and this. Okay. I'd been using Retin-A since I was like 20 every day, which is like turns over your cells. It helps create collagen. It's really good for your skin. So imagine I'm using that, and stuff that's in Retin-A is in anti-aging stuff. So I've been using that for like 10 years straight. Then I had such terrible cystic acne at one point, I had to go on Accutane. I went on it twice in my 20s. Then I had like the tiniest bit. It would just annoy me, like a little bit of like discoloration from where acne was and it didn't go away. So I've had like five times what's called, God, I don't even remember the name. It's at my dermatologist's office. It's a laser. They zap spots on your face and then they turn really dark and then your face looks terrible. And then after a week, it's normal. So I even had an age spot on my face. I got it zapped off. So I've done that. It's like a couple $100 a pop. I've done it like five times over the past 10 years. That was like to get rid of some acne scarring. Once a month, I get a facial. Sometimes I do it at my dermatologist. Sometimes I go to Kate Somerville. I get the red light treatment once a month. And a couple times I've done some like weird experimental laser stuff, like do it around my forehead and my eyes, like preventative, whatever. But it's like, how do I know preventative's working? When I turned 30, I started using the Strivectin line of products. I use the eye cream every day to prevent eye wrinkles. And there's a few there, but I use the Strivectin cream on my neck. And then there's like a Strivectin anti-aging that I have. I don't use it every night. And then when I fly or when I travel, I get those J-A-R-T, but I don't know if it's J-, I don't know. And they're like those face, you look like Hannibal Lecter or whatever, or Jason or whatever. I put those on my face as the plane is touching down because so much moisture gets lost in your face. I take Epsom salt baths, which is really good for like getting toxins out. So this is just like a lifestyle. Like I love to take care of my skin because I have to be on camera and be on stage and travel so much and do things to my skin that like make it worse. And I use La Mer. See, this is expensive stuff. I don't even be like, what a rich bitch. I use the night cream and I use this little oil in the morning. I wash my face with three different things depending on what I feel like that day. Josie Moran oil wash, argan oil. And then I have a foam cleanser that's like cucumber. I forget what brand. And then I use a black charcoal soap. And I know that like a ton of companies make this. I would go to like a real health food store and just get like some unknown name. And it just sucks. It just makes my skin squeak. I love it. What's really good for your skin, get rose oil and get the real stuff at like a health food store. Don't get like, I think they're making it at the Body Shop now. Don't get that shit. Put it, rose water, put it in your fridge. Every morning, put two cotton balls over your eyes for like a minute. Just depuffs, cools everything down, and just wipe your face with it. Or wipe after you cleanse your face. There's also that stuff from, is it L'Oreal or Garnier, the cellular water or something like that? It's like a toner. I use that sometimes after I wash. Some days that I don't put on any makeup at all, that night won't wash my face. I'll just use like the rose water. So that's all my moisturizing techniques. If you want to get a less expensive moisturizer that's really good. Oh, and then it like at home masks that it might be really good or like anything from the Fresh line I love. I also use SkinCeuticals products. I use the, there's like a vitamin C, like acidic serum in the morning, and then the vitamin C serum. So, I mean, I use a lot of different things. And then after, always, before you put on your makeup, put on a primer. Smashbox has great primers. And my favorite foundation is from the drugstore. It's Garnier Light Medium, and you put it on. It has some sunscreen in it, but use your own sunscreen too. And then I just use a lot of Smashbox like concealers. So, and I love Benetint, like highlighters, and that's it. So I hope that's helpful, but I do have a little extra money that I do for those facials and stuff. And I don't get those weird facials that rip your skin. I'm just like a normal facial, extractions, whatever. Okay. So Dr. Barbara Persons is a plastic surgeon. She looks beautiful. I can't tell how old she is. Oh, wow. She performs procedures for face, breast, and body using advanced techniques that she has developed over the last 25 years. Oh, and she's in the cosmetic and reconstructive plastic surgery field, so she can pretty much do it all. She can pretty much do it all. I always had faith in Dr. Barbara Persons. God, you can do so much stuff at her office. I can't even begin to read all of it. She's in San Francisco. It says Bay Area on her website. You know I hate Bay Area when people say that. The Bay Area? Shut up. Why does that bother me so much? Was that the most boring? Of course it was the most. Why am I even asking? Yes, Jen, when you gave your skincare routine, it was the most boring thing. But people ask. So now I'll always know where this lives. And then don't forget, any picture you see of me from television, you have a professional makeup artist putting all their, you know, also I like Almay eye pads for like, with the ones with oil to remove eye makeup, remove your eye makeup every night. Wash, you have to wash your face before bed. Anyway, you got a professional makeup artist putting like all these different layers of like, makeup and like things to glow. I mean, it's meant to compliment. What is happening to me? It's meant to compliment the camera. I mean, it's an hour of makeup. I'm not saying like, I don't come there looking gorge on my own. I don't come with God's makeup, but people, it's an illusion. Like right now, my face feels discolored. I've got a weird blemish. There's some dryness in areas. People, I'm just like you. I'm an ugly mug just like you. Ugh. Putting things in the dryer. I haven't even begun the episode. Can you believe? There's so much to talk about. Oh my God. Hang on. Is this why you love I Seem Fun or what? Oh. Here it goes. Oh, guys, always clean your dryer. Oh, you don't have to yet. What's it called? The little drawer. Oh, here we go. I don't know how you guys can hear that because I'm wearing headphones and I can hear myself when I talk, but I can't hear the dryer. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about what we were going to talk about. Let's give her something to talk about. Ah, it's going to be a little feminism in this episode. Calm down. Okay. Oh, so this morning I got up at 6 a.m. and I wanted to. I went to bed at like 10. So remember I talked about the I Seem Fun challenge about getting up an hour earlier? I could not do it. There was something going on with my body rhythm when I was in New York where everything was just all fucked up. Like I was eating like a psycho. My sleep, I was always so tired in the morning as though I hadn't gotten any sleep, but I did. I was needing like 9.5 hours sleep in New York. It was to the point where my alarm would go off at 7 and I would not even make it to turn it off, like to snooze or to turn. It would just, every morning I woke up with the phone on me and it was 8:30 and every morning I had to leave for work at 9. I'd be like, oh. Every morning I must have grabbed the phone and just turned it off. I don't know why I was doing that, but I was really tired all the time. Might have been the weather, but I think it was mostly my diet and just sort of like, I haven't had a desk job in 3 years. And so that energy of sitting in a desk. I know it sounds weird, but it's kind of like you're slowed down and then you're thinking for other people. So it's actually your mind is going, for me, my mind works a lot harder when I have to think for others instead of myself, because I'm not going to fire myself or pressure myself. But that, and by the way, nobody was pressuring me or threatening to fire me, but that feeling when you're like, oh God, I just hope they like what I'm doing. You know, that. So it's, I feel like I was just like tired. And then I would get home around like 8:30 every night. And then I don't know. I just needed a lot of sleep. So I tried that challenge and a few mornings I was able to get up earlier, but I didn't go to yoga or meditation class like I thought I was going to do. But I guess the whole goal is just, so like I normally get up at 7:30. So for me, the goal would be get up at 6:30 every day. And so my jet lag is working for me. So I think my body solidly got on East Coast time. So now I just wake up at 6, like, hello, because it's really 9 on the East Coast. And I hope that lasts because East Coast jet lag with the West Coast booty works for me. Because then I wake up at 6, I'm like, let's go. I just got right out of bed this morning. It was like the best. And I was listening to RuPaul on a podcast and he was like, I get up at 4 a.m. and I just do all this stuff. I'm like, oh my God, how awesome would that be? Oh, my throat. Yeah, so I notice when I let my diet go to shit, like the tickle comes back and the throat clearing. So it really, for me, is dietary. This, it was a good experiment and fun. And now it's back to the vegan. And when I say I cheated on being a vegan, I meant like I had a pizza. I'm no meat. And no milk. Milk is disgusting. Okay. So, and I know the cheese is milk, but you know what I'm saying? So the getting up earlier challenge is something that I talked about last week and a bunch of people wrote me and they have thoughts on it. This is my little email listener email section. People want to talk about waking up early or not. This is from Andy. I absolutely love waking up early. I'm a 23-year-old university student, yet I go to bed at the same time as babies and geriatrics. My normal sleep time is 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. Oh, that's interesting. I generally leave for classes every day at 7 a.m. So I have 4 hours every morning to do homework, play video games while listening to podcasts. Ugh. The video game part sounds horrible to me, but okay. Anytime I tell people about this habit, they think I'm the weirdest person ever. But people generally think that about me anyway, so it's not much of a departure. The funniest thing about this to me is that people in my classes constantly complain about being tired. By the time my classes start at 9 a.m., I've already been awake for 6 hours, so I don't have that grogginess, and I feel much more able to learn and be productive. I love it! Okay, this person, I don't know if they said I could say their name. Sorry about that sound. Hi, Jen. I think getting up earlier is a great idea. In February, I worked on a documentary in Indonesia. I stayed in Bandung, a city in the West Java province. I'm probably saying all this wrong. Where 97% of the population is Muslim. There are 5 daily prayers Muslims must perform, with the first one beginning before the sun comes up in Bandung. This was at 4:45 a.m. The morning prayer is played over loudspeakers throughout the city, meaning even if you aren't Muslim, you would still be woken up at 4:45 a.m. I gotcha. I know what a loudspeaker is. And I knew this already, that the Muslims and the speakers, I've never been there. I don't even know exactly what time it was, but we got it, baby. And no snooze button. Oh my God, my favorite. I'm reading 19 books at once, you know, in the Kindle, just toggle. And I'm reading Alec Baldwin's memoir. And he said he went up to Whitney Houston at a Saturday Night Live. I think he hosted when she was the musical guest. I think it was at an after party. And he was like, Whitney, you have the best voice in the business of the generation. And she goes, I know, baby, and walked away. I love that. Okay, so you're still woken up at 4:45 a.m. and no snooze button. The prayer lasts until the sun is risen, which can be as long as 15 minutes. My job started at 10 a.m., which meant I had around 4 hours in the morning before I had to leave the house. In this time, I wrote scripts, and in 2 weeks, I had written 3 short films and half a play. Wow. I think the morning is the perfect time to be creative because your brain is refreshed and stimulated by a night of sleeping and dreaming. I also spent part of my morning planning the footage I wanted to get from that day, so come 10 a.m., I wasn't in a fluster trying to figure out what I was going to film. Since returning home, my irregular work hours mean I'm no longer able to have a regular sleep cycle. But if I had a 9-to-5 job, I would definitely do the getting up early thing again. It's tough at first, but eventually the body adapts. With the extra hours in the morning to do something you enjoy, exercise, and have a decent breakfast without distractions, you face the day with a spring in your step while everyone else is dragging their feet. All the best with the challenge. Thank you. Well, that's the thing, is if you get up earlier, you're naturally going to get tired earlier. And that's what I want. I like going to bed early. Where I like being tired, I don't like when I'm laying in bed and I'm like, not tired till midnight. You can use my name. I'm Kate and I live in Los Angeles. She didn't write that. I just gave a shout out to where I live. I'm a full-time nanny to a toddler. God bless you. And have been having issues carving out time to write. Mornings have always been my quiet time as well. It's so peaceful. I've been working on a web series and a pilot. I'm hoping to submit the pilot script to writing fellowship programs. So many writers listening in. I'm planning on producing the web series on my own. I also have a few other projects I'm tinkering with. I'd love to turn it into a career. I'm up at 5 a.m. already for work, and after work, I'm usually exhausted or have errands, yoga, need to drink wine. I feel like there are a whole lot of excuses. Oh, so I guess she's not doing this. Well, if you're up at 5 already, I don't think this fits for you, right? Unless you want to get up at 3. Okay, my name is Jack. I've always wanted to be one of those on top of their shit people who wake up early and get things done. I've tried over the years, but the earliest I can do seems to be 7 a.m. And by the way, you don't even have to get things done. Like, there's something to be said for, like, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m., make coffee, and listen to the radio for 2 hours. Just something leisurely for myself before I have to start working. Anyway, I've tried over the years, but the earliest I can do seems to be 7 a.m. I have to be at work at 8:30, which doesn't help. Oh, God. But also, no matter how much sleep I get, I always feel exhausted. I've tried changing my diet, exercising more, meditating, yada, yada, but nothing ever seems to work. I'm just always fucking tired. Naturally, the less sleep I get, the more exhausted I feel and less productive I am throughout the day. However, if I were somehow magically able to wake up at 5 a.m. every morning without the consequences of total exhaustion, here's what I would do. I'm a menswear designer. Ooh. My career requires me to constantly update my portfolio, which means tons of sketching and collaging. If I were able to get up at 5 a.m. every morning, I would use those hours to work on my portfolio. I once heard someone say that you have your best creative ideas right after waking up in the morning, so I'd be really interested to see what I would come up with. Maybe that's some TED Talk BS, but who knows? Maybe I'll prove it right. No, it's true. I feel like, I don't know if I'm my most creative, but when I had a job and I had a book due to write, I would get up at 6 a.m. to write the book before work. And there's not a lot of thoughts in my head in the morning. And it's like you're less likely to have your inner critic come at you. Just start writing. And then at night, I always felt like maybe I had more ideas, but the inner critic is talking. It's like, these ideas are terrible. You know, so I had like more peaceful writing in the morning. So what I would do is like write in the morning, read it at night, and be like, this is a little boring, and then punch it up with my nighttime attitude. But if I had blank page at night, it was really hard to work. Blank page in the morning, easier to work. And then, what's my point? Punch up time is nighttime. Typically, I work on my portfolio after a full day of slaving away at my corporate design job, and at that point, I feel a little burnt out creatively. I feel as though I pump out all of my best ideas for the label I work for and never have anything good left over for myself. I know. I know the feeling. I think I'm going to try your challenge for 2 or 3 days at first and see if it works. I hope I'll be able to improve my work and create more dynamic, original designs for my portfolio. If you ever have an I Seem Fun-related menswear or fashion question, I'm here to help. Well, men, if you have a question, Jack, will you write us back and let us know if you tried the getting up early thing? I want to know how it went for you. Here's another person. She doesn't say if I can say her name, so I won't. Hi, Jen. I'm a public school art teacher, which is both an awesome and exhausting job that I've managed somehow to keep doing for a decade. I spent hours worth of therapy sessions the first semester of school this year bemoaning my lack of time for personal projects. At the end of February, I started looking at how I was using my personal time, and with Lent as a timely excuse, I gave up Facebook and ratcheted down my ingestion of the news, and I started waking up earlier. Not 5:30 earlier, but instead of giving myself 15 minutes to get out the door, I gave myself about an hour and 15 minutes. I started using that time to work on drawings while enjoying coffee from a real mug instead of a plastic travel cup. Did you get yourself an I Seem Fun mug? What? Oh my God, there's all kinds of I Seem Fun mugs. There's one that says Rich Bitch. There's one with a picture of the logo. It's really pretty. If you go to Estoy Merchandise, ESTOYmerchandise.com, and click on the Jen Kirkman store, you can get an I Seem Fun mug. Everybody who wants to get up earlier, get an I Seem Fun mug. How fun would that be? Sorry. I feel better about myself, and I just feel better. My therapy sessions also feel more productive because I'm not bitching about the lack of time in my life anymore. I can look at more significant things, including things that come up for me while I draw. Artists gotta art, so that's what I do with my newly discovered free time. Thanks for reading. Oh, well, that's fucking awesome. That's fucking awesome. Okay, that was all I got from the people that were getting up early and some people that were not, that were like, I get up at 5 a.m. anyway. Fuck you. So I really successfully did one day of the challenge. And I'll let you guys know next week how it's going. Oh, well, unless I record two in a row. Oh my God, what's going to happen? I'll let you know. You'll find out. Although my voice feels, I know it sounds gorgeous, but it's hurting. My cords feel a little swollen, so I might actually just record one. There's something I love about just like banging out a bunch so that I never have to worry if my life gets crazy, but like, right, am I talking like this? I don't know. Okay, so here's something insane that happened on Twitter this week. First of all, I am unclear on the people. Okay. I follow a lot of like people who get intel from intelligence people. Like they can't source it because it's, you know, whatever. What I'm coming to learn is people don't leak to the mainstream media, and the mainstream media doesn't report on people on Twitter who, but they're starting to. This is guy I follow at True Facts Stated, and the mainstream media is starting to pick up what he's tweeting about because he's getting intel info. But it'll be like, yes, there are indictments coming. No, I don't know when. No, I don't know who they're for. So I'm talking about the Trump-Russia stuff. What I don't understand is the far left now sounds like my parents who don't believe in the Russia thing. I'm like, you don't even have an option to not believe in it. It's legit true. They interfered with the election, and every single person in the Trump administration is Putin's bitch. And that Jill fucking Stein, God, I can't believe I voted for her in 2012. I will say at least she wasn't Putin's bitch then, but she was a dumb idiot, and I'm a dumb idiot for being a dumb idiot. I didn't even know that much about her when I cast my protest vote in California. I just thought I was so smart. That's why I don't like these Bernie bros. I was one of you. Don't you get it? I'm trying to tell you from the future, you're going to change your mind. So just do it now and save everyone your dumb tweets. Oh, capitalism sucks. Well, I'm sorry. That's what our country is. I'm not like, I'm aware how capitalism is inherently racist and sexist and blah, 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 blah. I know. I'm not giving up. I'm just saying you ain't going to change it with an election. And you're not going to, what is Bernie Sanders going to take down capitalism? I can't. Anyway, Jane Sanders, being investigated. I told you those people were shady. Do you guys think that, like, how many more times do I have to be right before you guys start believing me? How many more times? God damn it. Anyway. So I'm all into Trump Russia. You know, I check it every second. And I got these left-wing friends who are like, well, he didn't. And I'm like, it's not even about the election anymore. He's actively involved in American politics. Like, the way that, and I think Trump's in like a stage of dementia, and these people, they have been planning to to put someone like him in as president forever so they can get their shit through, the Russians. They want to go back to being as powerful as when they were the USSR. They want control of all the, those countries they lost. They want sanctions lifted. There's no, don't worry about nukes. It's not nukes. It's a cyber war. They moved on from nukes. Why are people like, that's stupid? But that's literally been predicted in 80s movies. And none of this is stupid and none of this is not real. And if you don't think it's real, then you literally have your head up your ass. And you should go on tour and show people how flexible you are. And they'll be like, wow, it's like Cirque du Soleil, but cheaper. So the one thing that I can't stand is that it's in the mainstream media. Comey was on TV being like, yes, they are involved currently in our politics. It's bad, you guys. Okay. Now, was I unhappy with James Comey when he was like, oh, hey, some emails, Anthony Weiner, and everyone lost their minds? And then it got close enough for Trump to win, if you want to believe it was stolen. If you don't want to believe it was stolen, it got close enough that a lot of going to vote for Hillary people either stayed home or voted Trump or voted third party. The Comey letter quite possibly lost her the election. But I also think if things were stolen, they would have done it anyway, but I'm not sure. I know that either way, Putin planned to fuck with her as president. So her presidency probably would have just been crazy fake scandal after fake scandal. But anyway. But that's why I didn't mind the idea of her as president, because if anyone can handle fake scandal, real scandal, her. She's Teflon in terms of how it doesn't affect her outwardly. I mean, things stick because, and we got left-wing people saying talking points from the 90s. I'm having a flashback. I'm like, what? Where's Scrunchy when you say that if you're going to be so retro? So anyway, I feel as though I understand what people are saying about the James Comey letter. I know there's a couple things here and there where it's like, no, he could have done it better. He could have done this. I get it. But that's why he's working with AG, Attorney General Schneiderman, I think is his name, in New York to take down fucking Rudy. Do you understand that they've got shit on everybody in racketeering? These people are going to jail. The cases are airtight. I don't know when they're happening. Giuliani, done. And he knows it. Giuliani, something with the New York FBI in cahoots. Somebody put the emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop. That's why he was on the news going, something's coming. Something's coming. October surprise. Okay. Trump, I love WikiLeaks. They went to, Comey said, if there's anything more about Hillary's emails, you know, this is now a closed case. She, nothing wrong with the emails. Except that it was on a private server, but nothing was bad. Okay, case closed. Thank you. I will not talk about this case anymore because it's closed unless something new pops up. Well, somebody used that against him and was like, here, something new popped up. He wrote a confidential letter and Jason Chaffetz made it public. A bunch of shit happened. They twisted his arm. You've got to announce this. He was like, fuck. They got him cornered. Then he came back out. Was like, again, 2 days before the election, we did 10,000 emails in a weekend. It's fine. She's fine. If he hadn't said anything, they would have, and they did something, and then Giuliani, the day of the election, said, you know, we gave this to Comey, and he didn't say anything. They would have been like, he's trying to win for Hillary. It would have been a whole thing. He knew he was already investigating these creeps for Russia. Maybe it's for the best, in a weird way, that it's going down this way. I don't know. That's what I'd like to believe. I don't know. But when people are like, I don't trust him, it's like, bitch, learn how to read and interpret the law. He's the one that went into John Ashcroft's hotel room when he was on morphine, to stop, they were trying to get him to sign something that would allow wiretapping of our own citizens. And he went to stop it. He seems to be obsessed with the law and doing whatever the law says. I think he's into bringing down treason. This is fucking treason, which used to be punishable by death back in the old days. George Washington would have fucked you up. But in the 90s, we made it illegal to kill people who were treasonous. Why did we do that? Did you do that, Bill Clinton? Who did that? Was that Bush or Clinton? Which 90s? What part of the 90s? Bring it back. Anyway, so I was tweeting that I was sick of the left on Twitter just being like, I don't trust Comey. It's like you're outing yourself as a ding dong who doesn't read the news. I don't care if you trust Comey or you don't. I don't have a dog in his race, whatever the expression is. I don't have it. If it turns out that he's like, psych, I wasn't preparing indictments. I just been fucking playing Bejeweled Blitz with the Live, Laugh, Love lady. I'd be like, ah, Comey, you got me. I guess you really were some kind of so-and-so. But I have no reason to believe that because his character has not been revealed at all. What's been revealed is how he follows the law and how he interprets the law. And everything lines up to me. Even the crazy Hillary email debacle, which was a debacle. Now, so I was saying with the left stop tweeting, they don't trust, you sound stupid. And then I got accused because Putin's bots, they sort of influence some of the hashtags that go around on Twitter, some of the things. So they're really good at getting left-wing fake talking points going. And what the left-wing loves is to be a little contrarian about that. Oh, I don't trust him. It makes you seem smart to not believe in something. Oh, I don't believe in acupuncture. Well, I don't think the fucking Chinese, when they were practicing medicine thousands of years ago, asked your opinion. So it's sort of a Putin-fueled thing to be like, don't trust Comey. Keep that conversation going. Because if you don't trust Comey, who's the only person spearheading Trump-Russia, then you are what then? Don't trust anyone because he's really the only one doing it. So then therefore you are apathetic and you're not reading the news about it and you're not staying active and you're not holding people accountable. Do you get it? Do you get it? That's what they want, the disinformation stuff. That's why leftists, they're falling for it like they did with the Bernie bros. And people always say this, are you relieved that all the Bernie bros turned out mostly to be Russian bots? I'm like, no. Because if you sound like a propaganda Russian bot, but you're a real human, you should be embarrassed. So far, the only people not being brought up on FBI charges is Hillary and Hillary Clinton. That's right. She's two people. She's a woman who walks in the woods and goes, motherfuck. And she's a woman who is now rocking some cool jackets. Now she's wearing that silk, like kind of pajama looking suit thing. Like, where were these outfits before, girl? She's not under FBI investigation, and her followers didn't fall for fake news. All y'all on the alt-right and the alt-left who say there's no such thing, oh, God with you. Oh, you garbage. Anyway, this is my point. Fucking Evan Handler, who plays Harry on Sex and the City, went nuts on me on Twitter. That's right. He follows me on Twitter, and then he went, you stop spreading disinformation. Why do you trust Comey? Maybe you're a Russian bot. He was dead serious. I go, I'm a comedian. Like, Russian bots are like, you don't even know what it is. They're like people that don't live here that are paid to push this shit. They're not actual people in the spotlight like me. I mean, what? I said, dude, I don't want to get into an argument about if Comey is right or not, or if he's to be believed, because I guess we'd have to see it to believe it. And I don't know him personally. I have no personal info except, you know, some of the things I see on Twitter, which is like, my source says indictments are being prepared. Okay, dude, what? So then I wrote him back a long thing, and then he's like, okay, well, I guess you're not. I'm like, are you crazy? So then I just went and started looking him up, and this is how I know he's an asshole. This is how I know. And if I ever met him, I'd talk with him about it. In his bio, on his website, Sex and the City isn't mentioned. Everything else. It's like, don't bite the hand that fed you, baby. Now, I know he probably is a way better actor than that show. That show, he was just like a prop. They gave him no lines. I would have been vomiting if I were him. He's a serious actor. I'm sure he's quite good. And he's going to say these lines like, we named her Rose. I'm just surrounded by women. Carrie Big stopped by. He really misses you. I'm just a schmuck who's got a big heart today. I mean, it's come on. It's like Mr. Brady when he was like, I got to say, Robert Reed played Mr. Brady. I got to say these fucking lines. I'm a Shakespearean trained actor. And they're like, yeah, if you could just say Greg, you can have a groovy den. He's like, ah, fuck. So listen, I get that Evan Handler might not want to be known for Sex and the City. Maybe that would make him look worse. Sometimes I don't want to put certain things on my bio because I'm like, oh, I don't want to be just known for that. But it's like, let people know who you are, dude, or else you're going to be the, I think I know you. Just put it out. I was like, oh, I get you. You think you're better. You think you're smarter. When Comey saves the day, y'all can apologize to me. When Jane Sanders is in jail, y'all can apologize to me. When they find out that Bernie was, as they say in Russia, translation, useful idiot, y'all can apologize to me. Don't forget. Don't forget what I seem fun. Don't you forget. Did you guys forget? Don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me. Sorry, I'm stalling because I'm trying to fucking find something. Oh my God, where is it? Where is it? It is the prediction I made in 2015. Why can't I find it? Why can't I find it? I think I retweeted it. And I said, you guys, don't forget that I said this. Oh, hang on, you guys. What can we talk about while I scroll? While I scroll down and I find a thing. Because I want everyone to hear this. Oh, I'm going to puke on everybody. I'm scrolling to like 1984 here. Are you guys buying tickets to my tour dates? Boston is like, there's only like a couple hundred tickets left and it's at a 1100 seat theater. So I actually would buy tickets to Boston. I'm going to go to jenkirkman.com, click tour dates. Oh my God, where is it? I can't find it. I know it's here. Please. Please. Yeah, I'll be in a lot of places. Boston, New York City, Brooklyn, D.C., Philly, San Francisco, Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, Atlanta, Columbus, Cleveland, the other one, Cincinnati, Asheville, Durham, and Nashville. And I think some Texas dates are coming too. I'm going to throw up right now. Where is it? Can I do a search? Okay, hang on. Hang on. Oh no, that I can't believe I'm doing this instead of just stopping, but then I'd have to do all this shit to stop it. You guys, you know what tweet I'm trying to play? The one where I predict that Putin wins. the election in 2015. Somebody sent me the soundbite, and I put it up on I Seem Fun. Now it's just so ridiculous that I can't stop looking. But I've looked over and over and over and over and over and over. Oh, well. I don't have time to look over. Oh, shut up. I don't have time to look over and over at my tweets to see if I predicted something about Putin, which I think he's a great leader. That's the other thing. Suddenly everyone loves him. My family's all like, I love Russia. I'm like, really? Because you told me they were going to bomb us when I was little. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Don't tell me you don't believe me because you listen to me.
He'll somehow steal the election from Russia, and we'll let him for some reason because we've got some deal with him about something. But
that's from the episode I Seem Sick. I predicted it in 2015, motherfuckers! That's right. 2015. I predicted it. I love to be right. Until next week, have fun.